Yeah. Happy fucking happy hour. We use any fucking bathroom we want to. And Ian Harvey is here from Transparent, comedian extraordinaire. This is fucking awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being had.
Look
at you.
Well, look at you.
I love you describe yourself as you look like the lost member of Wham, which I think is fantastic and really true.
Well, and how sad about George Michael. And
yes,
I would be the lost member of Wham right now.
Yes, you could be in a new Wham if it were not for
if I
the
could
sad passing.
If I could even sing a note, maybe. But I just am not. I can't sing for shit. So,
Ian, you're all the shit now. You have a new comedy special coming out called Ian Harvey May the Best Cock Win.
Yes.
On the Cisco Network. It's streaming from NBC.
Mm-hmm. On CISO. Yep.
Yeah.
CISO.
And in fact, May the Best Cock Win.
Yes. And my cock won.
Did
just,
it?
Just so you, if you're wondering for the
spoiler
about the
alert.
Outcome, but
right.
Yeah. My dick won.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's one of the punchlines of my jokes. So I just picked
right.
that.
Right.
And actually, I said to the network, I said, I'm a little nervous. This is what I want to call it. Do you have any problems with that? And they said, no, we just released a comedy special called American Cunt. So I think we're going
right.
to be fine
so
with
we're
yours.
Fine.
Yeah.
So. Wait, what's going on? Your microphone is not on. Hello.
Oh,
there you go. All right.
Hi.
Don't be shy.
I know.
Don't be shy. Ian, okay. I just watched your stand-up.
What do you
You're
know?
Fucking hilarious.
What do you want to know?
Everything. This is why I purposely did no research at all on trans stuff, so I can
it.
Ask all the dumb fuck questions that everyone asks you.
Yeah, bring it. I'm ready.
This is fantastic. Well, can I just say my favorite bit is you going through TSA, and when your cock is in your, carry-on, that you should, and I think this is a good message in this Trump environment, do not be fearful. When they ask you, what is that, what do you say?
You said, well, first and foremost, if you travel with sex toys, don't be nervous about it because
right.
the people handling your sex toys should be the ones that are embarrassed,
right.
should be embarrassed because they
it's
are
your problem,
handling
not
your
mine.
Shit. Right.
Yeah.
So flip the narrative in your head. Get proud. And so, you know, when I get pulled over and they're like, can you tell me what's in the bag, sir? I say, that's my cock, sir. And then basically
it's a good
I mean,
way to stop a search. It immediately.
It is the yeah. absolute like definitive way to stop a search. You could probably right. you could probably carry all the weed you want. Just,
right.
You know, just carry a giant.
Right.
Massive
My
dick.
Cock is made of weed.
Yeah. Yeah.
What and, are you going to do about it?
Right. So anyway. So, yeah,
it's a good strategy.
Flip the narrative.
Fucking good strategy, man. I'm like, yeah, I got more than 20 ounces of shampoo, but it's also my dick. What are you going to do about that?
I have more than 20 ounces of shampoo in my dick. So
my dick is made of 20 ounces of shampoo. What do
you
think
remember
about that?
That old rap song, My Dick? Yeah, there's an old rap song.
So.
Yeah, I can't remember who did it. Who did it? Anyway, we'll have to Google it. But
yes.
It's like my dick so fantastic.
This is OK. Know, so like, for people that are like me, that are kind of old,
you're not
white
old.
And
no.
white and befuddled.
No.
You were born a woman, though you look like the fucking bounty
Actually,
towel,
can I just say...
towel guy. And also a little bit like, what's Babe in His Blue Ox?
Can I just say, actually, I wasn't born a woman.
Okay.
I was born a baby.
I understand. Okay.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, so you were born. I'm like, no, actually, I was born a baby.
Right.
No one's born a man or a woman. People
right.
are born babies, and then they later,
right.
when they arrive, the doctor just looks at you and assigns a gender or a sex to you
right.
based on what is between your legs. They
right.
know nothing other than in that moment what to say is like, based on what I see here. And then later, it's my opinion that you get to pick, you
right.
get to choose how you want to present your gender.
Right.
And that's, I knew at probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old that
right.
I was more masculine than any other girl that I knew.
Right. Well, who am I thinking of with the blue ox?
Paul Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Bunyan means the bounty
yeah.
paper towel
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
That
was
some
yeah.
good hormones because that's a nice beard. I mean, that's a nicer beard than I had when I wasn't out yet when I was gay. I'm just saying. That is a great beard.
You are genetically predisposed to whatever your family has. My dad grows hair up to his eyeballs on his face.
Wow.
So... and he's got
giant
cousin
it.
Eyebrows.
He's cousin
yeah,
it, basically.
He is, pretty much.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. He's like right off of like Planet of the Apes, you know? Like right off. Like
so, Art, let's get right to because I love your story about when you you were, because now you're, you said for the first time in your life you're getting hit on by gay men, because sometimes people think you're a gay man. So you were in a gay bar. Please tell the story. Gay guy hit on you.
I was not far from here. I was in Silver Lake, California at this little club. And I went up to the bar and this guy started chatting me up. I had never been hit on by a guy before as a dyke. And as like, you know, right. with big old titties that I had.
Right.
I looked like a soft butch. Like I never right. got looked at by a guy. So it's a totally new thing, an exciting thing for me.
Right.
To, hi, baby. I'm sorry. I got distracted.
Friend.
I got hi.
Friends like
Pyrenees.
What? I like him, whatever he is, I like it.
So okay. I go up to the bar, this guy starts chatting me up. I'm sort of excited because it's never
You're
happened
like,
to me
never
before.
Happened to
right,
me.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. "This. Oh my God, this Fighting. Is what gay culture is like. So, and I started to feel bad. I said, look, dude, I feel bad. I said, I feel like I should be honest with you. I'm transgender. I have a girlfriend, and I don't think I'm what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And female-bodied, he's like,
I'm not the droid.
Yeah, so... I started to walk off and he's like, wait a second. I said, yeah. And he's like, he had this revelation. I said, what's going on? And he said, you mean you have two holes to choose from? And I'm like, what? That is so rude. He didn't even acknowledge my third hole.
Well, your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's rude. That is
rude.
Fucking rude, man.
It is so fucking rude.
Right. Because you were saying that normal people, like when you say, because you're very, you know, out about it, the people immediately just start to focus below your belt. Like what's. What
yeah,
all's
people,
going on down there?
Yeah,
what's
think,
happening in
I
that
think,
hole?
What happens now is I tell people that I'm trans, and they're like, wait, so that you have a beard. You want to be a woman? And I'm like, no, been there, done that. People think I want to transition in the other direction. And I'm like,
oh,
no, been there.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because I'm a fucking dumbass, like most people. So, but you've had the, because you've talked about this, you'd have the top surgery.
I've had the top surgery,
okay.
And I've been on hormones, and it will be 9 years, March 7th, that I've been on, that I had chest surgery. So I got this rockin' flat chest 9 years ago, this coming March 7th. Three, 4 months before that, I went on testosterone. So, and what that does is it changes your muscle build. My shoulders filled in between my neck and my shoulders.
Right. Yeah, you're hot.
My chest.
As a woman said to you at your thing, oh my God, you're hot. You're like Brad Pitt with a vagina.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I mean, people, and what happens too is that people have like the, wait, we're going to just say for someone who did no research whatsoever,
I did a little
you're
research.
Pulling out some of my story here pretty well. Anyway, I don't remember what I was saying.
Okay. No, you, well, right. You were saying, I mean, it is such an, I mean, you were saying that like, you're sort of so out there with it and you play all kinds of audiences. And so there's older people and people that are like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to admit, I'm a woman of a certain age. I grew up Catholic. Like I'm gay, but like I didn't know transgender people for a large part of my life either. So I think that there is that thing where people are like, I don't, what? Wait a minute. What?
Yeah. I think people get. Orientation and
right.
gender really sort of mesh together
right.
and confused. They're like, wait, so you're with a woman. Or if you were with a man, like, I don't understand. And it's like, they're two totally different subjects. How
but you've
you
always
about...
been attracted to women. When you
yeah.
were growing up as a girl, you were attracted to, you came out as gay, and then
yeah.
you came out
yeah.
as...
And
yeah.
at first, I really thought, oh, that's what's going on with me. Like,
right.
I thought, oh, it's because I like girls, and that's what's going on. But it wasn't until later that I met – and I'll tell you that it took me meeting and seeing myself, meeting another lesbian or a dyke to see that, oh, that's who I am. It's really hard to see yourself
right, right.
when you have no representation. I grew up in Maine.
Yes.
I
oh,
knew,
wait a minute. I know this.
I
Hang
knew
on.
No one
in
Maine.
Beaver Pond.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
So I had no, I mean, other than like the masculine women who were actually married to men there, there were no
right.
representations of queerness in Maine when I was growing up. So
yeah.
I didn't know who I was until I was 19, until I met my first lesbian who hit on me. And I was like, oh that's what
yeah.
that is. Oh, yeah.
I'd like to take a big deep in the beaver pond.
Yes. And then, so fast forward to about 28 years old, I went to a community event where one of my favorite authors was speaking. His name was Les Feinberg. He wrote Stone Butch Blues. I don't know if you've read it, but
yeah.
it's a really great book. And it's it was a moment for me where I had another, oh my God, that's me, that's me, that's
yeah.
me. This
yeah.
guy came up and introduced Les, and he was a trans guy. And when he told his story, I had met trans women before. I had been out to gay clubs. I'd met like people who were sort of female impersonators, drag queens, and trans women. I had never met a trans guy, never even thought it was possible, never dawned on me. Yeah. That's how blocked I was. And then when I met this guy, I just sobbed in my seat at this community event going, that's me, that's me, that's me. So until you see yourself in somebody else, sometimes it's just really hard to know who the hell you are.
I think that's interesting because people watched it with Chaz Bono, but like, what was the point where you went, oh, I'm just not gay. I'm something else beyond gay.
Because, well, I mean, even after I came out as, you know, telling my parents that I like girls, I still knew that there was something under the surface that I couldn't put my finger on. I didn't know what it was. So right. I knew that I wasn't finished yet in my evolution around sexuality as a whole, like at my orientation, my gender. I knew there was something still sort of nagging at me, but I didn't know what it was. It was one of those things that like, I don't know. Like I said, it was just so blocked, you know, inside until I saw someone else show me. I was just like, holy fuck, that's who I am. Right. That's who I am.
It's you don't feel comfortable in your own body, no matter who you're with sexually.
Well, I have to say, like, you know, there's a narrative out there that, you know, that trans people hate their bodies or somehow are uncomfortable or somehow. But I just want to say that narrative is not just true for trans people. It's true for everybody.
Right.
There is nobody.
You say
on
everyone's
planet.
A little bit trans.
I do. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. And I say this at the end of every show. If you feel 100% okay about your body in direct relationship to your masculinity, your femininity, or your gender, if you feel 100% okay about all that, then you're the fucking weirdo because everybody else on the planet is struggling. And that shit, it's just like, so but, to me, know, if that is a vague or sort of a common ground description of what trans people might feel like, then we're all fucking trans.
Yeah.
Like nobody is walking around looking in the mirror going, I feel amazing today in my masculinity.
Yeah. No, but you know where I intersect with you is because I think I'm a woman of a certain age that, you know, realized she was gay and people, you know, and I was in love with guys and dated guys and people are like, are you bi? And, you know, my journey was sort of different, but I also think that I intersect with you in that thing about feeling uncomfortable, like, oh, do I look dykey? Do I look, you know, and I've obviously always been sort of lipsticky. I like lipsticky women. I'm like, you know, but you go, what part of my psychology is that? I mean, you know, Shelley Wright's my good friend, you know, Shelley, right?
Yeah.
The country singer. And she said in her process, she would see women that were butchy and dykey and go like, fucking put on some lipstick and a dress. You're blowing my cover. Like, you know, so there's all that shit, right?
Yeah.
In terms of our, but you're right. I mean, our like wanting to look attractive or feminine or whatever it is to the other, at least for me.
I say, you know, what I say because there's so many people who say to me that they can't imagine how it must feel to be me. And I'm like, actually, I think you can imagine what it must feel like. Right. I think if you stop for a moment and stop using words like trans or gender nonconforming or non-binary, blah, 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 gender queer, all that stuff.
Right.
Or even just saying cis, gender, female, cisgender, male, whatever. Forget all that and just talk about feelings for a second. Do you feel comfortable with your masculinity or femininity, where you are today on that spectrum?
And the good thing, particularly in this fucking horrible, hateful Trumpocalypse we're in, is that no one should have to hide. I mean, and this is why, you know, Shelley and I, and we've had this conversation on the air many times about, you honor people that have never been able to hide. Because she and I could always hide. There was always a presumption we were straight. I didn't face the same
There's
kind of discrimination.
There's safety in invisibility.
Yeah. But some people have never been able to hide. And I think that the point is, no one should fucking have to hide.
Right.
No matter who you are. And that's
what it's going to take during this time is for all of us to be allies, whether you're trans or queer or straight, cisgender. And cisgender, if you don't know what that means, it means that you are assigned a certain sex at birth and you identify with that. So if you ever hear anybody say that, someone says, you know, you were assigned female and you're like, yes, I agree with that. I do feel female. Then you are cisgender.
Right.
But I want to say that anybody out there that is an ally, it is time. It is a really, really important time that when we see somebody that might be vulnerable, that is recognizably trans, that we look out for them.
This was by accident because of Dana Goldberg, who's going to join us, who's your friend. Mm-hmm. This happened last minute on the week that Donald Trump just did this
pullback
transgender bathroom thing. And I thought, like, well, what a fucking amazing time for us to talk to you. But because you know, you do this great bit in your stand-up, which is so funny, but it's still true. Like, you're like, I'm just uncomfortable in bathrooms in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's comfortable in a bathroom?
Awkward.
Nobody. Nobody wants to be. You know what?
You said, thank God your period's gone, because you don't want to, if you're crinkling something over there, you got to tell the guys it's a candy bar.
Yeah. I mean, bathrooms are the worst place in the world to have to interact with other people because of what you have to do in there. And we've become such a culture that's so private about that.
Right.
That, but it's, you know what's so strange? It's like we all share the same bathroom at home, but once we step out into public, it's a totally different story. And like everybody's considered, not everybody, but people are considered predators.
Yeah, my logical, well, first of all, transgender incidents, zero. Republicans that have assaulted people in bathrooms a little more. But I mean, what's always amazed me is it's like a solution for a problem that doesn't exist. I'm going like, isn't it creating a problem? Because you walk into a women's room. Isn't that the problem? There's this, you know, there was a picture of a, you know, this African-American, amazing, great weightlifter, transgender, you know, guy.
Right.
You're like, listen, you want him to walk into a ladies' room.
Right.
Like, so you're going to cause problems
now. If you want people to go in the bathroom, the bathroom that matches their gender that was assigned at birth, then I, Paul Bunyan, will be in the ladies' room with you. If that's what you want. So,
but I mean, but you're creating problems.
But here's what it is.
You're creating, I mean, what woman's not going to look at you going to the bathroom going, what the fuck? Like, now you've created a problem.
Let's jump to sort of like the broader scope of this is what conservatives want to do is they want to erase trans people. They want to fucking erase us.
Because they don't understand it.
They want to erase color. They want to erase anybody who is other than Christian. They want to erase gender nonconforming people. And that's what it's about. It's about narrowing the scope of what is acceptable so extremely that there nobody is left but them. And this has been in the works. You know, I'm looking at this book, but did you ever read that book, The Family?
No.
It's one of the creepiest, greatest books. So it's called The Family, and it's by this guy named Jeff Charlotte, and he is a journalist, author who went into this conservative grooming house just outside of Washington, D.C., maybe a decade ago, maybe 8 years ago, and it was Vice President Pence was in that house and a bunch of other conservatives. And it wasn't just political guys. It was big business guys. And they all lived in the house together and do favors for each other. They believe they're above the law. They believe they're above God. They believe that they can do anything and not be. They believe they're untouchable.
Right.
And they have been plotting this for a very, very long time. So this book, The Family, and the guy who wrote it was on Bill Maher years ago, and the first thing Bill Maher said was, I read your book. I'm really surprised you're still alive because of all the things that he wrote about. So this is all about erasing people who are not like them.
And did you grow up religious? I know that you've talked in your stand-up that your family was supportive, but you have two brothers, right?
I have two brothers and a sister, yeah.
You say you knew at a really early age you were transgender. You just didn't have the language for it, obviously, because you were.
Yeah, I mean, who has the words in the 70s for like transgender? I mean,
you're it feels like pop rocks down there. There's something.
Yeah, I'm 48. No one had words for my kind of queerness back then.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
you had two comings out as gay and then as transgender. Mm-hmm. Your parents,
not so religious, spiritual.
Okay, but you have two older brothers. Yep. How was the whole family about everything?
Everybody was amazing. I've not lost a family member over this. And I tell you, I think specifically because they're not religious, because it didn't fuck anybody up. You know what I mean? Like there wasn't these preconceived ideas and false ideas about what you're supposed to be like. And our family's practice was acceptance rather than division and alienating people who don't believe the same things you believe. It was really largely
about acceptance. And so no religion? You were... What did your parents do?
I mean, I consider Protestant kind of no religion. They're so relaxed. I went to church camp as a kid.
It's kind of like cream of wheat. I don't
know.
Summer
camp, church camp was like you met friends and you ended up partying with them the rest of the summer.
Right.
It wasn't, just had ragers at all of our different, you know, parents' houses.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it was like a spiritual, be a good person camp. That's what it was.
That's radical. Mm. We have one other degree of separation. You started as Margaret Cho's opening act, who is my beloved, who's done this podcast, who we're, you know, just huge mutual fans of each other. But so, you know, you were saying that between her and the creator of Transparent, you've had these women that have been huge champions of your...
Starting with my mom.
Yeah.
Who, for some reason, like, it's always women who have elevated my voice. And I'm so grateful for that. And it started with my mom saying things to me like, just be yourself. People will love you.
Yeah.
And then later diving into comedy and coming to L.A. And 6 months after being here, meeting Margaret and her saying, come with me.
Yeah. She's fucking
And I was
fearless.
Terrified.
She's fearless.
And I was terrified to perform in front of her audiences. And she was like, listen, there is no trans person in comedy talking about this stuff. We need your voice. We need representation. So that really kind of changed things for me and made me understand like what my job was outside of making people laugh, that there was a, you know, political justice kind of element to this job as well, that I could make it so if I wanted to. And I have.
Right.
And then touring with her helped elevate my voice and get on some people's radar. And I was asked to do background work on Transparent and ended up having a conversation via Twitter private message with Jill Soloway. And she said, hey, come to the writer's room. I want you to tell us your story. And then at the end of that, she said, actually, I want you to play this guy that plays is the love interest of the youngest daughter, Allie. Would you be interested? And I said, you know, I haven't acted in a while. And she said, well, what if I made it safe for you? What I hadn't told her was I hadn't acted since The Hobbit in eighth grade.
Not even high school.
Yeah. I think it was like, yeah. So I was terrified and I jumped through a couple of hoops. I didn't do like a formal on-camera audition. I did an audition with the cast in an acting workshop. Right. She called me one day and she said, you get my text message? And I said, no. I said, what's going on? She said, you got the part. I said, oh my God, I won't let you down. She said, no, I won't let you down.
Wow.
So it went from, you know, I just have had these, and my girlfriend is the same way. Like, she's not a dream stomper. Like, I finally found a person in my life that is my partner in life and who I absolutely adore. And 10 years in, we're still fucking, I gotta say.
Wow.
That's rare, right?
All right, can I ask all the nosy questions about that now?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
This is why I did no research.
She's not a dream stomper. I just want to say that.
I understand. That's the important thing.
Best partner.
But all the... nosy stuff people want to know, like, so what, because you talk about this in your act, like, what kind of people
you want to know,
what kind of fucking you like, what kind of, how do you like to be fucked,
how
does it go,
how we bang it out,
right? Okay, so but you've had the top surgery.
Yeah.
Okay,
listen, I mean, okay, can we talk about how
but
you have
but
sex?
Your travel
if I talk
but
about
your
how
cock
I
goes
have
on
sex.
The travel bag, yes, of course.
Okay,
yes.
So do you dabble in sex toys?
You know,
or are you really kind of like,
I've never been an aficionado, I will tell you, because only because I thought for me, at least when you're really in love, like, I think it's important that it's like, it's your fingers and mouth and tongue and, you know, like, I've never been into toys a lot.
Okay. Yeah. So the extra stuff is like, yeah.
I mean, me, when I start, like, I think the first woman that said, like, ask for a strap on, I was like, oh, that just feels like such a male fantasy. Like, I'm missing something. I got to strap something up, you know, like, I just always felt like, and listen, I grew up Catholic, and so I give a really mean blowjob. I'm really good at my fingers. I'm good at everything. Because I had to be. No, my sister and my...
Why did I look over here and she winked at me like, yeah, she does. Yeah.
She doesn't know. She's great. She's my tiny producer.
I know, but you say...
I trust her.
Yeah, but you just have that look like, yeah, she does. I'm like, wait a minute.
She's feisty, this one.
A
little bobcat in the sack.
Yeah.
Ian, here's my point. I learned to give I have more experience with men than you do. I gave a mean blowjob.
I'm terrible.
In high school.
That's my blowjob.
No, you talked about in your act that a guy whipped it out when you were in high school, and you used it as like a
I used it as a handrail to get the fuck
to get
out
away.
Of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I.
Right.
He put it in my face, and I was like batting it, like trying to get it away from me, you know.
Right.
And
right.
And I this is the closest I ever came to giving a blowjob.
That was it.
Using it as a handrail.
Yeah. Yeah,
to get
no,
out
I was
there.
Better. With...
no, I, mean,
I still
listen,
get crushes on men, which like, makes me a really bad lesbian. But
no, you know what? Listen, hot is hot, and I think that that's the thing that I've gotten to this place now where I was so black and white about like who I was attracted to for so long.
Who were you attracted to?
I mean, women. But I,
no,
but
I mean, like what type of women before you transitioned?
Like I've always loved. On the really like high femme spectrum, like you're totally
uh-oh.
In that.
This
in
could
that
be
range.
Quite the after party.
The total mm-hmm. lipstick, you know, girly girls, like heels. I love the sound uh-oh. Of a heel clicking.
Oh dear.
I love a tight.
You know what? I sense our first skirt transsexual three way with the hot girl from Vancouver and me when she gets here.
Oh,
she here yet?
That?
Okay. Oh, all right.
Somebody's peeking.
All right.
Somebody's. Peeking.
Oh, somebody's here.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. This is going to be the after party for all after
but
parties.
But as far as
yeah.
toys mm-hmm. and how I have sex, I love it all. Like,
okay.
Whether I strap it on or whether it's fingers, mouth, whatever, like, I like it all. I just don't have boundaries about, like, what we use.
But, okay, but your girlfriend, I'm always curious about, you know, because I've known Chaz for many years. I've known her as Chastity. I've known her, you know, him as Chaz. But I'm always curious. So is your girlfriend always been gay? Or is she...
No, you know what her orientation is? Is that she doesn't want to date an asshole.
Love that.
That's her orientation. So, you know, I have dated women who were straight.
Right.
And they do eventually...
Me too.
And they do eventually go back to guys because they really are... And forgive the language of this. And this is just... Only, I'm going to say this is only my experience. A lot of the straight women that I have dated go back to guys because they were at whatever age... They were kind of imprinted by dick.
Right.
They
right.
really like getting dicks hard. They like sucking dick. They like putting that dick in them.
Right.
And it's not the same experience with me. I have
right.
a dick. You can suck it. It's not going to mean a lot
right.
to me other than anything visually. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Okay. Here's going to be the weirdest, stupidest question, which is why I didn't know research at all. So is there an adidectomy operation? Is there a...
There is, but I'll be honest with you. I've not had it, and it's not optimal.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It's not optimal. It might be for some guys. It's not optimal for me. It's also not a thing. Let me tell you something. For me, it's not a desire for me. I think the number is roughly 90% of trans guys don't have that surgery.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because it's risky. It's skin grafting onto your body, which has a high risk of falling off. Number one. Number
yeah,
two,
yeah.
It. I mean, and just the, I know this is going to sound graphic, and I'm happy to be corrected if I'm getting something wrong, and there's a guy out there that's had this done, and please message me and correct me. I'm open to that. But from what I understand, they take muscle from your forearm
right.
and skin from your forearm, and it's a really difficult recovery.
Right.
And you may not have an orgasm again.
I get it. No, I get it. I get it.
So there's
but
a
so,
lot of risks
but,
with that.
But taking care of the top makes you, but
the
tickering the top is a thing that makes you feel more in your own body.
Absolutely.
Not having okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
yeah,
and you know testosterone and the top surgery were the things that
are your nipples still sensitive because mine are. I just am asking for the three way label.
My armpits are that
okay.
which is where my new nipple sensation is. I'm serious. If my girlfriend flirts,
yeah, I'm just
with
writing
me,
this down. Is she coming?
My girlfriend flirts with me. If she rubs her hand across my chest and kind of towards my armpit a little bit,
oh.
I'm like, oh, I know she's up to something.
Wait,
like,
did the
oh,
nipples get
to...
relocated? What
my
happened?
My nipples are on in the right place, but the nerves reattach themselves.
Oh, over there.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So it's...
I'm going to so hug you up later.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's
so...
where the
all right. Okay.
The energy
so,
is.
So this is good to know because I don't know if a lot of people know that so... The,
that's
so,
not every guy.
Wait,
not every
so,
guy's nipple sensation is now
ask,
in their armpits.
Do you still come from your clitoris?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I want to say it actually makes your clitoris grow. Testosterone
okay,
makes
so
it grow.
Okay, so you have a dick that's
it
probably
actually,
bigger than Donald Trump's.
It actually, and I think it has intensified my orgasms.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you still like the same stuff, but
yeah.
Like oral sex, whatever, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I like it all, but I just, I I needed to feel, I'll tell you what used to happen in my previous relationships. Sex would stop after a certain amount of time.
And lesbian bed death.
Well, it's partially that, but it also was that I knew that I didn't feel right in my body. So sharing that with somebody, in the beginning, I knew I had to
right.
keep them.
Sure, sure. You had to fake it.
Yeah, in some ways. And then after a certain amount of time, I was like, okay, like, here's how I really feel about my body. I have like a lot of rules about how you navigate it because there's some things that make me feel like a girl and I don't want to feel like a girl.
Right.
And now that's all been nixed because I feel like a man.
Yeah.
I look like a man and I just feel like myself now. So I'm a different person sexually because of that.
Yeah. And it sounds like your partner has to be, she sounds amazing because, you know.
She is amazing.
She
was with me before I transitioned too.
Okay. Chaz's girlfriend was. I mean, I don't know if they're still together, but
they're not.
Whatever.
They're
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
But that, not that I, last I knew, but no.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people, you know, some people can go through that transition and it's not a big deal. And I'll tell you why it wasn't for my girlfriend, because her orientation really is not, it's queer of some sort, but it's not, she's not necessarily entirely drawn to women and she's not entirely drawn to men. And I don't even know if she would identify as bisexual, but maybe. But it's in that realm of like, I asked her, I said, people ask me all the time how you identify. And she said, I just don't want to date an asshole. So I said, okay.
I love that. I love her already.
Why
is she not coming?
She's
coming
in Colorado
tonight?
Right now with Margaret.
God,
she's Margaret's manager.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. Fantastic.
So, yeah.
So wait, Ian, because I think a lot of people have questions, like dumbasses like me, but so, because you gave this, you were at the Gay and Lesbian Center, you gave a very sweet salute to your trans sisters, and you said, I know you have it a lot harder than we do.
Yeah.
Which is probably true.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah, and you sort of, like,
no one
gave it up for, you know, Caitlyn Jenner, you're like, you know, good for her, because she has brought a lot of...
Well, you know what?
It's just her politics so fucking suck. And it's just like, Donald Trump's not going to listen to you. Like, and Jackie Evancho, you know, whose sister is trans, who's saying it is inauguration, she's like, oh, I hope he'll listen. He's not going to fucking listen to you.
No,
he's
no.
a fucking monster.
No. He has, there's an agenda that he has to complete for all the people that he is being a puppet for.
Right.
And there's no way that any of the promises around human rights will ever be kept. He's going after, I mean, they're going after every vulnerable person in this country.
Yeah.
And that's not going to stop until he's out of office or they're done with their agenda, which is horrifying to think about. But as far as like people like Caitlyn Jenner, listen, like I don't agree with a single thing that she has to say about politics. But I do commend her for coming out as an almost 70-year-old woman.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult thing to do.
She's his Donald Trump's demographic scared 70-year-old white women.
I feel bad for all of my trans sisters because they are the most hunted people on this planet.
Yeah.
They're at the highest risk for violence and murder, and it makes me sick. So I know that I walk down the street and I'm virtually invisible.
Yeah.
No one's going to look at
me
too. And
I
think
look
anything.
Like a straight woman, you look like a guy.
And
yeah.
So there's this invisibility that I have, that privilege that trans women don't always have.
Yeah.
And it frightens me to death to think about.
But, I mean,
all
this is
them.
Why I said this, Jackie, whatever her name is. But I'm just like, don't normalize him. Don't legitimize him. Don't sing at his, you know, you have a trans sister. Don't fucking. Now she's like, oh, I'm disappointed he signed this. It's like, really? You didn't see this coming?
Yeah.
Really?
Right.
Like now you think he's going to have a dialogue with you and your sister? He's not fucking. He doesn't fucking care about you.
I don't know that person who sang for him, but I think anybody who does anything for him, it's purely selfish.
Yeah.
For their careers, they think somehow it's going to do something for them, and that they will sacrifice, you know, the well-being of others in order to do that is an insanely selfish thing to do.
I had Bruce Jenner on my radio show when I did not realize he was right wing because I had the biggest crush on him. He was the picture in my locker in high school and I was sure I was going to marry him.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, but I'm going, well, now that dream is alive again because I could still marry Bruce Jenner. But yeah, no, it's just disappointing. I mean, to me, politically, to have someone go, oh, you know, I'm going to try to educate. Like, you're not going to educate people that hate.
Well,
like
also,
this.
You can't give what you don't have.
Right.
So, Jenner does not have what it takes to educate others. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So she doesn't. She doesn't possess that ability.
Oh, it's a little white privilege
and that information. She's very isolated. She and on her show, you saw her getting schooled by so many people so many times. On that show, I mean, she was on her own learning curve. How is she going to impart knowledge to others about transness when she has no idea about her, even her own?
I Am Kate was supposed to be her trying to educate people. And again, she was not, it didn't really do.
Right. The white privilege was just like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, you know, your experience is not like most people's. Yeah.
But listen, she's a human being. And I think that, listen, like, I know that she said and done a lot of like really fucking shitty things that have hurt trans people more than helped. And she is insanely rich and privileged and isolated and is out of touch as Donald Trump is, in my opinion. But also, I still think of her, and I think probably because of her age, that she is largely the way that she is. You know, like she's so set.
Can I ask some really personal questions about trans women now? Okay.
Well, I don't know if I can answer them.
All right, but so it's all the same thing about everybody's different in terms of what kinds of surgeries they have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain it on the other side? Because I think I'm not that educated in terms of women that transition from from man to woman.
I don't know what the stats are for women who have it or don't. I don't. I do think
I know hormones, same thing, hormones.
Here's what I think happened in earlier years. I think there was this narrative that if you're going to transition, you must go all the way, and all the way meaning lower surgery as well. And I just want to say that I think for all people out there, for all trans people, gender nonconforming people that maybe don't, identify with the sex that they were assigned at birth, there's the change in narrative that it's not the wrong body. I don't have to have all the surgeries that people think I have to in order to be who I say I am.
But you talked about the tiny percentage of, women, that transition to man in terms of having a penis. You know, you were saying that's very small.
Right.
I'm just curious on the other way.
I don't know
the percentage
number.
Do they have their penis removed, or they have?
But here's the thing. Let's be clear. I want to say something, and for you who's asking the question that a lot of people ask out there, and I appreciate that you didn't do a lot of research, and that
I'm just going to be a fucking dumbass and ask the questions everyone does.
And that I get to answer the dumbass question right now, which is, you know what? You do not have to do anything surgically, medically, even name change, or any of this stuff
in order to identify yourself
and be who you say you are. All it takes
is it as risky to do the surgery to remove something going the other way as it is to do the surgery that you were talking about?
It's actually medically, surgically easier to remove something than it is to add something.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So that's... You know, and I do think that from what I understand from trans women that I know that have had that surgery, that it is sexually functional. So they get pleasure. But I don't know. Again, I'm not a trans woman. I'm speaking on behalf of people right now women that I should not be speaking on behalf of. And that's a question for others to answer.
Yeah.
I want to say this for listeners out there, too, because it is a real thing that people get really obsessed about genitals. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't have to have a dick to be a man.
That's right.
Like, I am who I say I am.
You are fucking 10 times the man that Donald Trump is.
It is not up for public debate. Whether you believe me or not about who I say I am, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I am who I fucking say I am. And that is the same for if you are LGBT of any sort. I fucking believe you when you tell me who you are.
Yeah.
You tell me you're a lesbian, I fucking believe you.
You didn't come out soon enough. Oh, you should have done this. Oh, are you bi?
Whatever.
I'm like,
bullshit.
I don't.
Yeah.
But you know what? I love what you said. You did an interview and you said somebody asked you, as a trans person, just being yourself is a political act. And you said being kind is a political act, really. This administration does not want us to be kind to each other. I'll also say only 22 to 25% of all eligible U.S. voters voted for Trump. So when people say half the country
turns
voted
out
for
it's
him, that's inaccurate.
Yeah, it turns out it's 19.5%
right.
of eligible
But I keep
US
saying this,
voters.
Too. We're the majority. Do not
right.
feel power. You say the same thing. Yeah. Don't feel powerless. You say, when people say this country is divided, I say actually it's not. It feels that way because that's what they created.
They want to perpetuate that
yes.
idea.
A large majority of us, we see them in the marches, the numbers, who's at the inauguration, who's on the street. This country is not that divided. Not to the extreme that this administration would like to perpetuate because it feeds their negative machine. I would say I don't believe anything they say about how divided we are. And I think that's so important now. You were saying before Obama, he was not a tyrant. I mean, you know, and you talked about George Bush. He was an imbecile. He wasn't a tyrant. This is new territory.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely terrifying. But it is uniting us, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you know what? That so 80.5% of the country did not vote for Trump. That includes people who voted for Hillary
right.
or people who did not vote at all. That includes everybody who did not vote. Only 19.5%. So when people I think that's a really important thing to remember that, you know what, when we go, oh, my God, we think it's 50-50 or it's half and half.
Yeah,
it is
it's not.
It is not
it's
half
not.
And half.
It's not.
And that the large majority of people out there do not believe in these like disgusting, venomous things that are being spouted. But they want to perpetuate that because with that division comes fear. With that fear comes anger. And it like it heightens things to a point where people then act on that rather than acting in a place of like, you know what, actually, if you were acting on your daily life thinking I am part of 80.5% of the country that actually cares about other people, as opposed to thinking it is divided down the middle, like if they perpetuate.
That's right.
Yeah. So
no. And you said, you know, I love the way you said. You said, I would say, open your mouth, call out things when you see them, stop them if you can safely stop them. Do exactly what Meryl Streep said. Take your broken heart and make it into art. If you're an artist, speak out in whatever way you can. Everyone's an artist. The one positive thing I can say is at times like this, the really great art is made. Look at SNL. Look at all of us in the comedy, you know. So to be part of that movement.
When I was devastated.
You said, I'm going to show up and I'm going to be of service to others and be kind. We are more on the same page than you think. And I think that was so beautiful.
Why, thank you. I'm like, I said that in an interview. I can't remember what interview that was.
Well,
but
I think it's what we're all feeling. It's why you're seeing in the streets what you're seeing on SNL, you're seeing how powerful artists like you are and Margaret Cho and hopefully all of us.
Well, I was devastated after the election because I really didn't think he would win. Yeah. I really didn't. I didn't think
well,
there was
he didn't,
a chance
but that's
hell.
Not important. Right,
correct. I agree. I didn't think he would be president. And so after that, I said to Margaret, I'm like, I don't know what to do. You know, like I just feel so I was devastated. I had to convalesce at another friend's house and make dinner and like cry and just I'm sure like many of us did. But Margaret and I were talking and that's what we figured out. It's like, you know what? Like think about like, you know, the 80s and like post-Cold War and punk and the kind of art that came out of like the 80s and Reagan and think about, I don't know, there's some really great like, but I mean, I'm talking about something that actually should talk about like the civil rights movement. Think about like that, the art and the movements and the stuff that was created, and even today, films like 13th, like being created today, coming out of these really fucking horrific times. So if there is only one good thing out of this, it is that really great art will be made.
Yeah. Absolutely. The resistance is powerful and is beautiful, and it, you know, you're part of it. I love that we have some of the same influences. Carol Burnett, Flip Wilson.
Yeah.
Church of What's Happening Now.
Yeah.
Rich Little.
Yeah.
You do compressions, it might be a little something like this. Hee Haw, Laugh-In, Dean Martin, Celebrity Rose, Saturday Night Live. I mean, isn't it amazing that I feel like Saturday Night Live is at their fucking greatest now?
Yeah, they might be hitting their prime, their stride right now with all of this stuff. I think, you know, of course, you know, times of like Rosanna, Dana, and like Aykroyd, and like, you know, Belushi, it was fucking fantastic. But they've been around so long and they've honed their craft so long that by the time, you know, we have a political fiasco like this, how beautiful that you can call on people and you know, Baldwin and say, hey, come in here, or McCarthy and come in here. And there's just so many great characters to be making fun of.
Yeah. I love that everything. I've just read so many interviews with you because I was so sort of fascinated. But you talk about like you're an educator as well as a comic. There's a natural curiosity around trans people about sex and sexuality. Who do we want to fuck? How do we want to fuck?
Yeah.
But, and you say everyone else is talking about their dicks and pussies. Why can't I?
Absolutely.
I love it. Yeah. It's just like grab your power, make it.
One of the big things is, people are like, are you worried at all about being pigeonholed as a trans comic or a trans actor or a trans? And I'm like, no, because everybody is an identity comic. Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld is an identity comic. That guy gets up there and fucking talks about the minutia of the day, talks about nothing. That is his identity on stage.
Right.
So I'm not worried about talking about, subjects that are important to me the way that I want to talk about them on stage in repetition of subject. Like, that doesn't bother me at all. Like, yeah. I'm like, everybody does that. Like, I'm sure that, is your passion on stage politics?
Yes.
So
Sexy Liberal Resistance Tour.
Yeah.
Doing it. We got to serve. We all have to serve.
Right. So, you have your own sort of identity, the things that you are driven by, that you are compelled to speak out about. Yeah. And so am I. And so is Jerry Seinfeld. And I don't know why I'm bringing him into this, because we're all nothing alike.
Who are these people?
So when people say that, are you worried about that? I'm like, fuck no. Like, I don't know. Like, everybody is. You know, Stephen Wright had these, like, non sequitur, like, one-liners, like, that was his jam, So, I don't know. Everybody has their own spiel, shtick, whatever.
Well, you were talking to them about the political, and I thought, like, isn't everybody fucking political now? Like, you have to be. You said to somebody, we've had Obama for 8 years. There were lots to be political about. We haven't had a racist, misogynist, xenophobic, Twitter-happy numbskull. I feel like we're all fucking called to serve now. We just are.
Yeah. If you're not talking about it,
yeah.
If you're silent, then you're complicit.
Yeah, you're part of
the
problem.
My opinion.
Yeah.
It is all consuming. So if you're not, actually reminds me, like, I just said this on Facebook yesterday. There are companies out there that will not take their ads off of Breitbart. Google will not block ads from going on Breitbart. Amazon will not block their ads. Facebook will not block their ads from going on Breitbart. And from their media buy campaigns, they won't block them. But they claim this political neutrality.
Right.
And that's their policy. I'm like, there is no fucking political neutrality right now. You are either with them or you are not with them.
You're with us or are you against us?
Yeah.
George,
so there's no. And so I feel that way right now. This is a time where no one should be fucking silent. Everybody should have a thought about where they stand.
You actually, I love what you said about, you were talking about actually Milo in particular, but in general, you said you really want this shit to go unanswered. Cancer grows if it's untreated. He has grown to this point because he's been left untreated.
This guy,
you said his platforms in the media need to be rescinded. His hate needs to be defunded. And I guess that's what's happening, but let's hope it sticks.
It is. But it's, you know,
because
what?
You go, he, it's
but
just,
it's not
you know
just...
what it is? It's pointless fucking cruelty.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not any, it's not clever. It's not funny.
No,
it's not.
I do agree that he is attention seeking. Right. I agree with that. But that doesn't, I don't give a fuck about that. This guy has thousands and thousands of followers. If this was a guy who had 5 followers on Twitter, I'd be like, fuck him. Let him try. But he has thousands of followers. He needs to go unanswered, not go unanswered.
And there's no difference. He's with the White House and him now. There's no lunatic fringe. Bannon hired him.
Yeah.
Bannon's in the White House.
Yeah.
Trump defended him when Berkeley protested.
Yeah.
Right.
You're just like, Jesus fucking Christ. This is like, and you're going, okay, fucking kids is the only, was the line.
Right.
But you just go like, because you go, first of all, like, they hate gay people. But okay, you're okay with the gay guy as long as he hates all the other people you do and is going to be really mean about black people and women. And,
right. Well, there's only a matter of time before they drop him too, And even advocating pedophilia is not necessarily quite enough for them to totally drop him.
Right.
And even
otherwise they would have, someone would have said something about Denny Hastert, maybe.
Yeah, I think what they say is like, after they're done coming for this group of people, they're going to come for this other group.
Right.
And if you did nothing for them, then eventually they're going to come for you. They're going to come for him too.
Right.
He's not safe.
So the Mexicans, LGBT,
yeah.
Every group's going to be Muslims. Everyone's getting,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, once if Trump does go, you still have all these people who are behind him left, who are in charge of our schools.
Mike Pence is horribly homophobic.
So how do you?
Can we just talk about Mike Pence and how white he is, and how I think? Wait,
and how we
so
hope
white.
There's a tape of him with a guy because I
know that his asshole is so pink. You know, it's like so magenta and like.
You
like,
think so?
And like a couple inches in, you know, it's super pink.
Right.
You know like that it's just like a rat. Like a rat pink. Like a rat pink asshole.
Yeah. I understand what you're thinking.
I just want everybody to think about the vice president's asshole right now and how rat pink it probably is.
Think about the vice president's asshole right now. Right. You were talking about formerly as a butch like female body person, I really wasn't any different than I am today. I'm on testosterone, but I feel like the same person. So what does testosterone, because you know, when you're a girl person, you know, sometimes you take like female hormones. What do the dude hormones feel like? What happens to you? Do you want to get a red hat and support Donald Trump, or do you want to fix shit, or what do you want to do?
You want to put your dick in everything.
Oh, you do?
You're horny all the time.
Right.
You sexualize everything.
Okay.
But the good thing is I was socialized a girl, so I have a good voice in my head to tell me how to act right.
No, so you have a devil. Like a testosterone devil.
Do it. Fuck her. Fuck everyone.
And then you have like a, no, don't, you're a girl.
Well, I don't objectify her. I have that girl voice in my head. And I have the dude voice now that is just like, come on, just look at her ass. Just look at her ass.
Amazing.
You know.
Do it. Tap that. Let's do it.
you're just highly sexual. But you're the same fucking person. I mean, this is not Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Right.
You take hormones and you grow some body hair. And your libido's through the roof and you're the same fucking person. I do have to say my temperament is a little bit different. I'm not a raging asshole, but my fuse is about half the length of that it used to be. And I now like I have a tone now that I didn't have before.
Oh,
maybe I always had it, but
like
I give myself permission now to use that tone at times. That I never used to. As a socialized female, I used to not take up as much space. And I'm not talking about man spreading. I'm just talking about social space.
Right.
Like I would be quiet and, you know, kind of. And now I'm a little bit more assertive. There's some things that. I don't want to attribute all of that to hormones. It might just be a level of comfort that I now have with myself.
With your own assholeness?
Yeah. With my inner dick.
Your assholiness.
With my inner dick.
Your inner dick.
Yeah.
As opposed to your outer dick.
Yeah. So I don't know. So
is there somebody?
Dana.
Speaking? Dana, get in here. Why? What is she doing? Why is she being so shy?
There it is.
Oh. Get in here. Why are you being shy?
Come on in.
We invited you.
Baby.
Look, everybody. It's Dana Goldberg. Goldberg's here. Wop, wop, wop. Okay. Oh, my God. Thank you for getting us the fantastic Ian.
Right?
Why are you being so shy?
I have a crush on this.
We
traveled on the road together and talked about all the stuff.
Talk into that microphone.
All that stuff that we talked about. We did a tour with our friend Jason Duty.
Yes.
And we talked in the car lots about like sex and relationships and.
This isn't going to go well. Hold on, I'm still trying.
Oh, you're still coughing. I can keep rambling.
Do you need mouth to mouth?
We never. I just want to say,
you need the bourbon. She needs the whiskey. Yes, go ahead.
My favorite trip was up to Portland, Oregon, and watching Dana fucking rock out the drums at her friend's house. She's an incredible drummer. Did you know this?
I didn't know that.
No one knows that.
She's trying to turn my straight executive producer in the.
I wouldn't say trying, and she's actually seducing me constantly.
And
these eyes, and then she giggles and she smiles and.
Well. Yeah. We all like girly girls in the room, so it's going to be a night. It's going to be an after party.
Ian is one of those gentlemen. Ian's one of these anomalies that I think the entire population's attracted to Ian.
Yes. It's
lesbians,
true.
Because you used to be one. You have this sensuality about you and this
yeah.
this sweetness about you that is still very feminine in a way.
Yeah.
And those you process, of us, he'll those process
of us,
stuff.
Those of us that are Wham fans, because he does look like the lost member of Wham.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And then he's a man, and there's something that confuses people when they think they're very, very, very lesbian or very, very, very straight. And Ian kind of, is that person that makes people go, wait a minute, maybe I'm not as lesbian as I thought I was.
What has happened?
I was at a show with Margaret after the show, and this woman came up to us and was chatting with us, and she was flirting with me. And she said to Margaret something like, oh, isn't he so handsome? She was a black woman. And she goes, isn't he so handsome? And Margaret goes, I know, he's like white chocolate. I was like, oh, my God, that's so funny. I was like, that's really sweet. Thank you. Anyway, so thank you for those sweetness you guys.
Okay, yeah, can I just ask another dumb trans question? Is everyone able to grow that fantastic beard right away?
No, it took me probably 5 years before it fully came in. About 6 months in, I had thin little sideburns. My voice had dropped about around that time.
Right.
And then I started to get some chin hairs, and it really filled in probably around 4 and 5 years.
Wow. And so you obviously, he was saying he gets identified as a gay man, and like, no, I've never liked dick. Balls are gross. Like, I mean, I don't know if you've said that, but just.
No, I have. I have. I know. I definitely have. I have a ball phobia. I want to kick him. I don't want to touch him. I want to kick him.
Ian has this joke. He's like, basically, I don't know what I would do if some guy put a cock in my face. I'd like use it as a handle and try and back out of
that
situation.
Yeah. That's what he did. His first attempted blowjob. We've had this conversation, Dan, on previous. I've had way more blowjob experience than either of you have. It's a long story.
I have
zero.
Congratulations.
I have as much as Sean. Sean, do you have more than I do?
No. Okay. Sean has none. Sean's a straight dude.
I have none either.
Not and, even like
sadly
camp.
For you,
like,
Vanessa's a straight girl.
Did you go to camp?
Yeah.
Yes, but
not even like a sword fight at band camp. Like there was like maybe the tips accidentally touched. No.
No one asked at band camp.
No.
No.
All right.
I didn't go to band camp.
Why are you very? You seem very uncomfortable right now.
He just got smaller.
He did.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's fine. So Dana.
Yes.
But thank you for getting this this fantastic human.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yeah. Well, yep. I love that his
one of my favorite people
girlfriend says, because I said, what does she identify as? Just as someone that doesn't want to date an asshole.
Yeah. Sarah's awesome.
I love it.
She's one of the most loving, lovely, calm women. I'm sure she's not that other way.
But, you know,
Dana,
here's the problem is she's not here tonight, and he identifies with very feminine women, and so I feel like there might be something.
I also heard you say while I was sitting outside when you were like, you're a man, you can pass, and I can clearly pass, because then I was like,
might be something happening tonight.
The baseball game.
Might be a different after party than we've had before.
Sure, it won't be the first time.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, Vanessa.
One of my favorite moments, we didn't have to, but Ian, Jason, and I chose to take a picture in a sauna. My friend had a random sauna in her house, so we all stripped down. I was in a towel. Jason was in a towel. We walk into the room, and Ian's standing in his tiny whities.
Totally gross.
And, of course, both of our eyes are like, you know, because it goes right to his junk to try and see what's in the
like,
tiny whities.
Well, there's nothing in the tidy whities. Right. That's what's jarring about it is you see this butch dude with a beard and there's just
flat
mound down below.
But you say when you're feeling butch, you put a tube sock in there. You put a tube sock in.
Yeah, I'm a lazy sporty. Papper. Once in a while.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I pull that out for a few friends from time to time. Guests who come to stay at the house, I go stand in the doorway of the guest room, put my arm up with just my tidy whities on. Like, can I get you guys anything? You know, just gross. Just to be gross. And it's funny to watch them do what you guys did, which is like you trying to keep your eyes on the eyes.
And you're like
trying to keep the eyes on
happening
the eyes.
Down
like,
there.
My eyes are up here. Yeah. My eyes are up here.
Listen, there's more happening than with tiny Cheetolini, right?
Well, my favorite thing, too, is like when people knew that Jason, Ian, and I were touring together. I don't know if I ever told you this, but basically we were, you know, build ourselves as clear. There was a lesbian, a gay man, and a trans comic.
Right.
And so whenever people would see the picture, they'd always point to Jason and be like, is that the trans comic? Not you, but to Jason. And I'm like, nope.
Nope.
I'd be like, that guy with the shirt off and the hairy chest, nice beard. That's the
other one.
I also toured with this guy. He's 61, 62 now. And his name is Felon O'Reilly. He's he's like an old Irish gangster from Boston. And
right.
He's a really funny comic. And he and I toured together. And on the thing, it was like two unlikely friends, a criminal and a trans guy, you know, like whatever, and a little description of us. And people would come up to him and go, so when did you transition? Kind of thing. Like, I don't know. I'm like, wait a minute. So does that mean I look like a criminal? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
America's Most Wanted.
Anyway, but
You are a delight. Dana, thank you for bringing
You're
us
welcome.
This delight.
Thank you
How
for
do we get
us.
Your... this is fucking awesome. How do we get your... Ian Harvey May the Best Cock Win? How do
you,
we...
on
iTunes?
CISO. It's on iTunes March 4th. My album drops March 4th and on iTunes.
Not his testicles, but his album drops on iTunes.
I've always wanted to say that.
May the Best Cock Win.
My album's about to drop.
So...
And also you can watch the special on CISO, and you can get CISO just like you get Amazon Prime to watch videos or watch TV on there. Same way you get Netflix, same way you get Hulu. It's an app on your TV. You just download it and you can watch it on there. It's all comedy. It's NBC's digital network.
You are a fucking delight, sir. Dana, thank you so much.
Very thank welcome. You.
This was fantastic and confusing for me. I need to go pour through some
wine.
Yeah.
Yes, and also some information on Google. All right, but this was fantastic. You are Ian Harvey, everybody. Happy fucking happy hour. Look, Dana Goldberg, everybody. Special guest appearance. Let's.
Yay.
Where's our? Okay, there we go. God, happy fucking happy hour.